Hi, I'm Coach Corey Wayne, and this is my video coaching newsletter. And the topic of today's newsletter is going to be, how many red flags is too many? Well, I've got two emails I'm going to go through with you today. The first one, a guy's actually wondering. He started dating this girl. Everything's going great for like the first month. It's easy. It's effortless. And then her ex-boyfriend comes back in the picture, and things have been kind of squirrely and inconsistent ever since. And so he's going, how many red flags do I pull the ripcord here? And so the second email I got is actually a success story from a guy who got dumped by his ex-girlfriend, I guess about a year and a half ago. And he's met somebody new and turned things around. And then his ex came back in the picture. So he was previously getting jerked around, and now he's kind of holding all the cards. So it's kind of nice to see that the power's flipped. The ex came back. He's in a much happier relationship. Because I know a lot of guys and girls that come to me are in a situation where things aren't going well. They're trying to determine whether or not they've even got somebody that's a good dating prospect. So the goal with these two emails is hopefully give you a good contrast so you can see the difference of what's going on to help you make better decisions. So with that said, I got a quote that I wrote, and then we'll go through the first guy's email. And the quote says, just because people can be in your life doesn't mean they should be. In order to reach your full potential, your inner circle should be filled with people who share similar goals and values and who genuinely want to see you do well. People who take you for granted, who flake out for BS reasons, and who operate with a general lack of integrity are going to create unnecessary obstacles to your success and inner peace. Not everyone deserves the gift of your time. Don't be afraid to cut people off who abuse and misuse your trust. Because what you're looking for is you're looking for people who are going to be nice to you, who are going to be kind to you, who are going to operate from a sense of integrity. A really good friend of mine, he's been with his wife almost 30 years, and the one thing that he's often said to me, he says, you know why I married her? It's because she was always nice to me. And this was a guy that dated all the hottest girls in high school and pretty much had his choice. And he married a girl. Yeah, she was beautiful, but she was really nice. In other words, she wasn't a shitbird to him. She wasn't dicking him around and promising to call him and then not call him, promising to do things and then not following through. She always operated with coming from a place of integrity, which is nice. And all of us have been friends for over 30 years now, and it's nice to see that it really does. And like all my closest friends, same thing. The one thing that they all have in common is they're always nice to me. And my closest friends, I don't even remember them getting angry or pissed off or raising their voice at me. We just always got along great. And it's important that should kind of be your standard, because you want people in your life that aren't fucking stressing you out. You want people in your life that are going to contribute to your inner peace, because you're going to make your best decisions and you're going to be at your best personally when you can be in a peaceful and relaxed state. So when you're setting up your career, your business, your job, your personal life, your social life, you want it to facilitate inner peace. You want to facilitate ease and delight, because the world is full of people that have constant stress, constant drama in their lives. And if you get involved with them or allow them into your life, because that's just what they're used to. They're used to being stressed all the time, and they're used to being in relationships with people that stress them out. And if you allow them into your life or your inner circle, their stress is now going to become your stress. It's going to make it a lot harder to reach your full potential and remain in a peaceful and relaxed state. We're all about ease and delight, effortlessness. And you got to have people have the same goals and values and have that same kind of vibe. And it's hard to do when you meet a girl and you're really attracted to her and you really like her and she's easy to talk to, you have a lot of fun. But after you start dating for a bit, these red flags and all this friction starts happening. And then you find yourself questioning, is this person worth the risk? You know, the things I talk about in my first book, How to Be a 3% Man, which you can read for free at understandingrelationships.com if you haven't already. But the idea is the book should give you the fundamentals to kind of screen your dating prospects and to do a better job. And obviously a lot of people come to my work, like both of these guys were, is they were new to it. They didn't know these things. And then they learned, like, you know, especially the second guy, you're going to see he learned it, he implemented it, he made himself better, he got a better quality girlfriend. And then this woman who had a lack of integrity and was manipulative comes back into his life, and he's in a much better place. And so it's easy to do the right thing when you've done the work and you've put in the time. So with that said, let's go through the first guy's email and see what's going on. He says, "Hey coach, my name is Bob. I'm 23 and I live in Reno, Nevada. And in late April, I met a really attractive, funny, and smart girl on the beach at Lake Tahoe. We clicked right off the bat and it felt like we've been friends for years." Now notice he's focusing all on the emotions that he feels. Because we make our decisions, especially when it comes to love, based on our emotions. And he's obviously totally focused on how he's feeling. And when you're focused on what you're feeling, instead of trying to remain objective and look for red flags or problems, you'll tend to go blow right past them. And it's usually, you know, several months down the road that you find out that this person's really incompatible with you. By then, you're emotionally invested. Maybe you're exclusive. Maybe you told everybody, oh, this is my new girlfriend. And then the last thing you want to do is right after just telling everybody this is your new girlfriend a couple weeks ago, like, hey, what's up with you and your girlfriend? Oh, we broke up. It's a little embarrassing. You don't want to think, well, what happened? You don't want to go through and explain that. So people stay in it, and then they bullshit themselves, thinking it'll get better. He says, "Skip forward about a month, and we've been talking all the time, texting, hanging out like four times a week, and banging it out all the time. Now keep in mind, this was before I read 3% Man, or I would have understood the mistakes I was making, or at least some of them, LOL." So he's just obviously totally carried away by his emotions. You see enough movies, it's like, this is what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to look like this. It's supposed to feel like this. This is what all the movies tell me. She's got to be my soulmate. She's got to be the one because it feels good. He says, "Anyway, after about a month of bliss and having my logic totally swept away by emotion, I start to think I could make her my girlfriend in the near future, even though it already felt that way. Then the ex-boyfriend shoots her a text and asks her to come and get her stuff back." So maybe she got ghosted by the boyfriend, or they had a, you know, nasty blow up and he was gone, she was gone. And so you're in this situation here, and obviously you're thinking, oh, I'm going to make her my girlfriend now. And you're probably, by this point, you're a little more excited, you're a little more enthusiastic, you're calling more than you should, you're pushing a little too hard to spend more time with her. She's a little more resistant, is not as excited she was in the beginning to get together. And then the guy just recognizes, why doesn't she feel like she did a few weeks ago? Oh, I got to do something. I got to get her back to that place. I got to get back on track. He says, "Immediately I knew it wasn't going to end well, but I sat back because I didn't want her to feel like I was going to get jealous or compete with this dude." Well, the thing is, if they were together for a long time and you've been dating for a matter of weeks, which obviously in this case he had, she's going to have a strong emotional bond and connection to him. It doesn't matter if things have been great for the last couple weeks. If you're pursuing her too hard and she's starting to think or recognize that you're way more into her than she is into you, and then she's kind of, I'm confused, I'm having doubts, there should be more chemistry, but there's not. And then the ex-boyfriend, right in the middle of her having doubts, and she didn't really have a clean break from that guy, wasn't the point where, it's completely over. Things can get really squirrely really fast with somebody like that. He says, "Then the next day goes by and I got nothing. Then 2 weeks goes by and ghosted. Ouch. That one hurt, but I got over it. This is when I picked up your book." So, I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, he's thinking, I'm going to make her my girlfriend, and then he gets ghosted. So obviously, no sensory acuity. He didn't know what to look for. Obviously, he admits he hadn't read the book yet. But this is what happens to the average guy that just doesn't know any better. He's just sailing along. Oh, I met my soulmate. It's great. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I'm ghosted. What happened? He says, lo and behold, she texts me after about 2 weeks to meet up and give me a t-shirt back. So we meet, talk, and I figured, hey, I fucked like 2 girls already since we last talked, so who cares if you had some sex with an ex-boyfriend? Everybody makes mistakes. She wants me back, but I told her I'm not a second choice. Plus, she's 21 and partying, while I've been out of that phase for a while now. I spend my time pursuing my MMA career as well as entrepreneurship. So if you're a high-achieving man and you want to accomplish great things with your life and you want to achieve your dreams, and you're dating a 21-year-old party girl who's, you know, bouncing back and forth between you and the ex-boyfriend, does she sound like the kind of person that's going to be a great cheerleader and a great fan and it's going to push you to succeed and reach your full potential? Or is she going to be a little more focused on herself and just having a good time? He says, however, when we're alone, she's a hell of a conversationalist on these topics, just not a great communicator about her own feelings. Well, she's not talking about her feelings, it's probably because she doesn't really have many. You disappeared, you backed off, which allowed her or caused her to become not so sure about where she stood with you. And then she probably started backing away from the boyfriend because, keep in mind, the ex-boyfriend, I should say, because he's pursuing her a little bit more. And she's in that period where she's got 2 guys, 2 prospects. And so she's going to choose the most masculine, most dominant one. So in this kind of a situation, you just say, hey, you need to resolve whatever it is with your ex-boyfriend. I'm not getting in the middle of it, but if it doesn't work out, let me know. We'll get together. And this kind of a situation, I would let her do 100% of the calling, texting, and pursuing. Guys that get in these kinds of situations start, you know, as soon as they back off and the girl reaches out, they go right back to pursuing. And you'll see, it sounds like here in this next paragraph that that's kind of what he's starting to do. And why it's kind of not really progressing a lot. He says, to conclude, it's been about a month since we had that talk, and she still is seemingly distant. I've been hanging back, dealing with her tests, playing it cool, and only reaching out to set dates. Well, that's part of the problem. You should be reaching out to set dates when a girl ghosts you to go hang out with the ex-boyfriend. Because when you just do that, you're communicating, hey, it's totally okay to blow me off with some other dude, and you know, I'll still keep pursuing. You can still keep disrespecting me. You're literally inviting her to do it again. The thing is, she hasn't been very available and is only trying to hang out when she pushes the issue first, it seems. Ah. That's part of your problem. You're trying to pursue a woman who's now got another dude in the picture. And if you'd been following what the book teaches, because again, your emotions are kind of overriding you, your ego's getting in the way a little bit, and you're like, I want her back. I'm better than this guy. I'm going to prove myself to her. It's a bad way to go, dude. He says, however, she still talks to me like she's my girl and we're telling me she misses me and whatnot. Well, it doesn't matter what she says. The only thing that matters is what she does. What people say and what people do are not always the same thing, and he puts in quotes, but it's still making it difficult to see her. How should I play it? Am I wasting my time with this one? Well, you don't really know her that well. I mean, the other thing that's real important to dig into these situations is to get some context on what was going on in the relationship. And that's why it's always good to ask questions, especially if you're looking for a healthy long-term relationship. What's the relationship with her father like or her parents like? And a big thing I see a lot of in my phone session with guys is they get involved with women that come from a family of liars and cheaters where there's multiple marriages, multiple affairs on both sides of the family, and then you find out she's cheated on most of her boyfriends or guys she's dated. You started dating her when she was supposedly dating somebody else. I had a phone session with a guy last week, very wealthy, very successful guy, and he's like, no, dude, Corey, I know this girl. Trust me, I know her. I was like, bro, she's married. and you're her fucking side piece. It's like the ego has a hard time accepting that, especially a high-achieving, wealthy, successful guy who's used to getting what he wants. And you let them know what's really going on in a relationship, they often have a hard time accepting it, but deep down on some level, they know, because I'm not going to blow sunshine up somebody's ass. I'm going to tell them like it is. And with this particular girl, you don't know. But the point being is the kind of red flags you should be looking for is you need more intel on the family situation. You need more intel on what her history is about, you know, the guys that she's had relationships with. And it's not that you're going to go and start digging on those things, but as you continue to casually date, and if you're letting her do most of the pursuing, she's constantly seeking your attention and validation. Now, when a woman is seeking your attention, your validation, she wants you to like her. And the higher her attraction grows and the more she starts to fall for you, that's when she just starts volunteering everything about what's going on in her life and her past. And then you can really find out what's going on. That's why it's so important in the beginning, at least for the first 2-3 months, you got to maintain a level head and not go goo-goo-gaga over this girl like this guy did here. And that was a big part of his mistake. And on top of that, you can tell he's still a little hung up on her, and he's still trying to pursue her and still trying to force things. Instead of, at this point, I'd be letting her do, and he even sees that if she pushes the issue to get together, then she'll actually get together. So I would, in this case, when there's another dude in the picture, you don't do any pursuing. You let her reach out, and then you make dates, and that's all she gets. And you should be very super skeptical of her at this particular point. Because women who are insecure, what you're going to see, there's always lots of dudes in their life. It's like they got to have 2 or 3 male orbiters at all times. And like I said, when you start to see that kind of behavior, those little red flags popping up, that's why it's important, especially usually when I meet a girl, like if I first start talking to her, that's one of the things I'm going to ask. What's your relationship with your family like? What's your relationship with your parents like? Do you have a good relationship with your dad? That's one of the best qualifying questions you can ask somebody when you meet them. And if she rolls her eyes, oh, my dad's an asshole, he's a narcissist, he's this, he's that, and you got to know if she doesn't have a good relationship with her dad, she's not going to be the easiest person to have a relationship with. That's just statistically, that's reality. So with that said, let's go to the second guy's email. He says, "Hey, Coach, I just wanted to write this letter to you as confirmation of what you teach and thank you personally for the info you share. A little over a year ago, I almost made myself look like a big beta by begging my ex to take me back." Yeah, it's really not attractive. "A little background on myself. I'm a high-priority man, and even before discovering your content, I already knew most of what you teach. I've never had difficulty with women in finding my purpose in business. I make 6 figures and constantly work on growing the business I own and try to better myself. I'm 22 years old, and last summer my ex dumped me, and it was a lot harder on me than it should have been. I was emotionally distraught." Well, rejection breeds obsession, because it wasn't your idea and it came out of the blue and you weren't expecting it. Yeah, your ego's going to get involved in that. It's a hard thing to accept when it's not your choice. Even when you weren't that into her, all of a sudden you get dumped. "Oh, I got to marry her. This is the ultimate one for me." I've like heard that so many times over the years from guys. He says, "It even got to the point that I almost called her up begging her to come back." Yikes. Good thing you didn't. "Luckily, at my lowest point, I stumbled upon your YouTube channel and I stayed up all night watching your videos. Even though I was already spending plenty of time building my empire, as you say in the book, I decided to recommit to myself and forget about her. I started taking night classes just to expand my horizons, even though I didn't need the salary from a degree. I just wanted to learn. I went on lots of dates with different girls and relearned my value as a man." Now notice he's doing all the work that I talk about in my book, which is the important thing. That's why he's going to get a good result. "I realized my ex was very emotionally distant from me, and when she wasn't happy, she became manipulative." So now looking back, he can kind of see those red flags. "I guess I was blind to it because the sex was really good." Ah, the emotions overriding the logic. "Ah, but the sex is bomb as fuck, dude." It happens. It happens. You get hypnotized. You get hypnotized by that poussoir. About 6 months later, after dating around, I met my current girlfriend, who was much hotter, in my opinion. She still tests me like any other girl would, but she knows I am a high-quality man, so she respects me and my time. Well, obviously, you're setting healthy boundaries now because you applied what was in the book and you did things right from the get-go. The things that are in this book, 3% Man, will really help you screen out the low-quality women, the women that don't qualify to have a relationship with, if that's what you're looking for. There's a lot of women out there you can have a lot of fun with, but they shouldn't go beyond sex playmate, fuck buddy, friends with benefits, ever. And, again, one of the biggest things I see in phone sessions is guys are, in essence, trying to turn a hoe into a housewife. It's just not going to happen. If she's never been faithful to anybody and nobody in her family was faithful to each other, and you think because you know her better than anybody that she's not going to cheat on you when she's not happy or you get lazy and complacent, it's fucking delusional to think that way. And the numbers aren't in your favor. She does 99% of the pursuing now and messages me every day to see how work is. She does everything you say a woman does in your book when she has a high attraction. She currently lives about an hour drive away, and she is willing to make the drive because I am often spending 70, 80 hours a week at work. After 8 months of casual dating, she is willing to pick up and move in with me, of course when I feel ready for the next step, because she knows how committed I am to my business and social life here in my city. Well, obviously she cares about you, and because you're being a man and you're being in your masculinity, she feels safe and comfortable enough to uproot her life and submit to you and follow your lead because you're demonstrating competency as a man. It's really important. He's demonstrating that he's a competent man. He's competent at getting what he wants. If you're competent, she can relax, hang out, have fun, hook up. Life seems great and I enjoy every moment with her that I get. At the same time, my ex recently started pursuing me. It's so funny when that happens. I know she says, it's so funny that as soon as I forget about her, all of a sudden she shows up again. It's like you totally lose any attachment to it and bing, the phone rings. Luckily, by this point, I realize that she is not emotionally mature enough for me and I don't want to play dating games with her. So obviously his level of competency has gone up and he has more criteria to look what to look for. He recognizes more red flags, and now he's dating a better quality woman, and she's exhibiting a lot better quality behavior than the ex did. Now he can really see the things I talk about in the book. He says, when she reaches out, I tease her a little and indulge in small talk, but as soon as she mentions getting back together or meeting up for a date, I either come up with a terrible excuse or just leave her unread. It's fucking savage. But you know what? She fucking up and dumped you. So, women do this to guys all the fucking time. And is it not nice? Like, no, it's not really nice. But, she kind of deserves it, right? I feel like a jerk giving her a taste of her own medicine. But hey, what's going to correct her behavior than her learning the hard way that you can't dick people over like this? When she's young and really hot, she can get away with it more. As she gets older, fewer guys are going to put up with that shit. He says, but it can be so much fun being the one that plays hard to get. Since I now have a much higher quality girlfriend, I don't want to mess it up by keeping my ex around as a fuck buddy. Keep up the good work, and thanks for helping me stay centered as a masculine alpha male. Regards, Bob. Good job, Bob. Good job at learning the stuff that's in 3% Man and applying it and getting good results and becoming good at recognizing good quality versus not so good quality, because you can't make good wine from bad grapes. And again, like I mentioned a couple times in the video, that's a big part of what I see guys doing when I'm doing phone sessions. They're coming to me going, is this woman a good woman for the kind of relationship I want to have? And oftentimes when you see this, flaky behavior, dicking you around, blowing you off, ghosting you, having other guys in the picture, acting flaky, canceling dates, operating with a general lack of integrity, these are just things it's not your job to fix. You're not there to save her or be her white knight or to change her life. You want somebody that's happy, whole, complete, has her shit together. If you're looking for a relationship, a long-term relationship, you want somebody that comes from a good family, that loves her mom and loves her dad, admires her parents, the relationship they have. And it's extremely rare in this day and age. But if you want to have ease and delight and effortless quality relationships, the criteria is the criteria. So if you've got a situation that you're in and you'd like to get my help personally, you can go to my website, understandingrelationships.com, click the products tab at the top of your screen, and book a coaching session with yours truly. And until next time, I will talk to you soon.